It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. I'm Bill Price. Biden's border crisis.
The administration has yet to provide answers.
That is our top story at noon. Today, Congress taking up two bills aimed at reforming the nation's immigration system as the Biden administration still refuses to call the situation at the southern border a crisis.
Wouldn't it be fair to call it a crisis?
I'm not spending any time on the language that we use. I am spending time on operational response.
Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas refusing to call the record number of illegal border crossings a crisis during his testimony yesterday. Brandon Judd at the National Border Patrol Council says the administration has turned a blind eye and a deaf ear to the growing threat at the southern border.
We cannot secure the border based upon the threat coming at us. I would then call it a crisis.
At least four people who were on the U.S. terror watch list were recently apprehended at the border, and Florida Congressman Carlos Jimenez says drug cartels are cashing in on the surge of illegal crossings.
The change in the executive orders as soon as the president got into power on January 20th, that caused the crisis. This caused this tidal wave of migrants to come over, putting American lives in danger, but just as importantly, putting the migrants' lives in danger.
Jimenez says human smugglers are making millions off of Biden's border policy. Missouri Senator Josh Hawley says words matter. And so far, the president has said all the wrong ones.
Policy is destiny. When you tell people that you can come and get welfare, when you say that there's not going to be a border wall, when you say that unaccompanied minors will get released into the interior of the country, guess what? You create a border crisis. You create a human smuggling crisis. You create a humanitarian crisis. And that is exactly what President Biden has done.
Senator Hawley says the cartels control the border and business has been booming under President Biden.
Nobody sets foot across that border on the southern end of it without the cartels. The cartels control that border. So what Joe Biden has effectively done is empower those cartels to make money, empower them to smuggle children, empower them to run drugs. They are now in full control of border policy because the U.S. president is letting them be.
Meantime, the effort to house the surge in unaccompanied minors continues in Texas, where the convention center in Dallas is being turned into a makeshift home for some 3,000 kids. Friends and family of the eight victims in the deadly spa shootings in Atlanta in mourning today. This woman lost her daughter in the rampage.
This is the hardest thing I've ever in my whole life had to deal with.
The suspect telling police he had a sex addiction and was headed to Florida to target the porn industry before he was stopped by authorities Tuesday night.
He has some issues, potentially sexual addiction, and may have frequented some of these places in the past.
Law enforcement says contrary to what many in the mainstream media were reporting, they have yet to determine a motive behind the shootings. Many in the mainstream press were suggesting the tragedy was racially motivated because six of the eight victims were Asians. Vivek Ramaswamy, the author of Woke Incorporated.
It was wrong. All violence is wrong. And I think our leaders can actually step up and say that directly. I don't fault the Asian Americans in Atlanta who may be startled right now. I fault the leaders who are throwing kerosene on that fire at a time where we should be healing instead.
Ramaswamy says no one should be trying to politicize this tragedy, especially before knowing the facts. Civil rights attorney Leo Terrell.
He's a sex addict, but that doesn't stop the Democrats. That doesn't stop all these pundits. And the Democrats are playing this race card that does not exist, trying to throw President Trump under the bus, and not a single fact of evidence. Show me a single piece of evidence.
The 21-year-old suspect making his first court appearance today, where Robert Long is facing eight counts of murder. Wicked weather down south.
A boat wrapped around the top of a tree.
Quite a scene down there. More than 20 tornadoes touching down in the southeast last night, with Alabama and Mississippi taking the brunt of the blow.
Crazy to see all the other people's houses just torn apart. It's like that could have been me.
We're very blessed. None of us were hurt.
our stuff wasn't blown to Mississippi.
Not a lot of damage, fortunately, just a lot of inconvenience, a lot of cleanup, a lot of rebuilding of the roof. We're going to have to probably redo the roof.
And the same areas that are cleaning up today are preparing for more storms, too. This woman clung onto a tree in her yard in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, last night.
All I could do was just say, Jesus, watch over me. Jesus, watch over me. And then it just like it just kept going and going and going. And finally, I just said, Jesus, take it away. And it's just like you could hear it easing up.
Tornado watches and warnings up again today across much of the southeast. America's climate czar, John Kerry, caught with his mask down on a recent American Airlines flight from Boston to D.C. The person who took the picture says Kerry was maskless while reading a book for at least 5 minutes. Kerry calls the scandal malarkey. Former White House advisor Karl Rove.
I do know one thing for certain. He is going to be wearing that mask every single second he's on his next flight for the next year or two.
American Airlines says it's looking into the incident, adding that it has a zero-tolerance policy for going maskless on flights. The IRS giving taxpayers more time to file their returns. The agency says it's delaying next month's deadline from April 15th to May 17th. It gives you an extra month to pay the tax man.
This was a move that was widely hoped for by tax professionals who were crumbling under the pressure. There is a brand new stimulus program based on tax returns in the midst of tax season.
Business analyst Jill Schlesinger says folks can also ask for an extension to file through October 15th. March Madness tipping off today for the first time in 2 years. Welcome back. The NCAA men's basketball tournament officially starts today with the first four. The winner of each game will earn the right to play in the first round. That tips off tomorrow. Still to come this Thursday, nursing home whistleblower in New York, recreational marijuana in Pennsylvania, and banning prayer in Montrose.
Well, good afternoon. We've got rain and some snow over the next 12 to 18 hours. After that, we're talking about a beautiful sun-filled weekend with a warm-up. I'll have forecast details coming up in 10 minutes.
All righty, Kevin Williams checking the stories making news where you live in New York and Pennsylvania Thursday, March 18th, in what has turned into a monthly routine over the past year or so. The border closure between the U.S. and Canada has been extended again, this time until April 21st because of the pandemic. Non-essential travel between the two countries still on hold. It has been on hold for nearly a year now. Congressman Brian Higgins of Buffalo says he wants to see the border fully reopened by the 4th of July. A Staten Island, New York nursing home administrator says he was petrified by Governor Cuomo's infamous order last spring that forced COVID patients into long-term care facilities instead of hospitals.
We can't be doing this. It's just not right to the residents.
Can you vocalize that?
I did vocalize it. And then, you know, once it was shot down, I never spoke again.
Michael Krause spoke to Fox News about the nursing home scandal. The governor under investigation for reportedly pressuring health officials to cover up COVID-19 nursing home deaths. New York State Police Departments have got to issue their reform plans to the governor by April 1st. It's all part of an effort to change law enforcement practices in the Empire State.
The first thing that most communities want, they want better engagement. They want more face-to-face with the patrol cop, not just the commanding officer or a pop cop. They want to get the patrol cop that's out there on patrol.
Patrick Ryder is the police commissioner in Nassau County, New York. He says since the governor ordered the police reforms last year, he's had over 160 public meetings on the issue.
We've enhanced things like park, walk, and talk. Get out of the car, stop and say hello to the community. Shake some hands. The engagement with community, data collection. But the concern is when you start getting into indemnifying your officers.
Ryder says he fears these reform plans ordered by the governor have less to do with improving policing and more to do with vilifying cops. Last summer, Governor Cuomo issued the executive order for police reforms in response to the death of George Floyd in Minneapolis. Fatal house fire this morning in Perry County, PA. Crews called to the scene of that house fire in Liverpool just after 4 a.m. Several people inside the home taken to the hospital earlier today. Pennsylvania Governor Tom Wolf releasing the findings of a long-awaited report on adult-use marijuana. Wolf says up to 70% of Pennsylvanians support the legalization of pot. State Representative Kathy Rapp does not.
We've been devastated by the opioid crisis. I do not believe that the people of Pennsylvania want to see another drug added to that crisis that we're already fighting.
In the meantime, New York state lawmakers say marijuana legalization is imminent this year. The measure included in state budget negotiations. The state wants to use pot profits to prop up underserved communities. But critics argue that in the midst of a pandemic, more drugs, probably not a good idea. Nearly 80% of New York State adults now eligible to get the COVID-19 vaccine, and that includes anyone who interacts with the public as part of their job. Infectious disease expert Dr. Ed Walsh says those who can get the shot should get the shot.
It'll help businesses. It'll help schools. It'll help. All aspects of our life.
Walsh says if 80% of adults in New York get vaccinated, it's going to go a long way towards eradicating the virus. Dr. Ann Falsey works at Rochester Regional Health.
I do think it's sensible to loosen up some restrictions gradually, sensibly.
Starting next month, casinos, movie theaters, bowling alleys, gyms, and fitness centers will be able to stay open past the state's 11 p.m. curfew. A mass COVID-19 vaccination site now open for business in Lebanon County, Pennsylvania. These folks got the shot inside a former Kmart. It's now turned into a clinic in the town of North Cornwall.
We're grateful, so happy, relieved.
I'm very vulnerable. I'm diabetic, so today is my lucky day.
Lebanon County Public Information Officer Jamie Wolgamuth.
I believe we can handle several thousand a day in here if need be, and the facility certainly is big enough. Parking is sufficient enough. There are a lot of people out there who want the vaccine, who have been having difficulty finding a way to get signed up, and so we're trying to facilitate as much of that as we can.
Officials say they'll be giving 2,400 shots over the next 2 days at that mass vaccination site in Lebanon County, Pennsylvania. Tonight, parents in Horseheads, New York, will present a petition to the school board there urging the district to reopen schools 5 days a week.
I'm frustrated and I'm sad because I have to watch my kids struggle. I have to watch their grades go down.
Jen Sarvino says hybrid learning just not working.
So many friends and community members that have reached out, they're talking about, you know, these once vibrant honor roll students who are now failing.
Horsehead Superintendent Dr. Tom Douglas says he supports full-time education, but his hands are tied.
There's not a teacher, there's not a school board or a school district that doesn't want their kids back 5 days a week. But the issue is the guidance from the state. It is the procedures and regulations of the New York State Department of Health and the New York State Governor that inhibits us.
The CDC could soon move the recommended separation guidelines from 6 to 3 feet, which will go a long way towards getting schools open 5 days a week. A public school in the northern tier of Pennsylvania has dropped its opening prayer at school board meetings under pressure from the Freedom From Religion Foundation. The Montrose Area School District has decided to stop opening meetings with the Lord's Prayer. The prominent atheist group expressed particular outrage that students were occasionally present at those meetings and might have heard the prayer. Montrose, 20 miles southeast of Binghamton. A group of New York lawmakers forming a bipartisan caucus to focus on upstate issues.
The caucus will push upstate concerns from the health of the region's economy to education and government reform. It's the first time upstate lawmakers from both parties have joined forces. The caucus will focus on skills-based education issues, economic development reform, and bolstering innovation. So far, 10 lawmakers have signed on, 5 Democrats in the state assembly and 5 Republicans in the state senate. Jeremy Miller, Family Life News.
Thank you, Jeremy. Pennsylvania state law prevents Governor Tom Wolf from seeking a third term, and a new poll shows who residents want to run next year. On the Republican side of the aisle, the Susquehanna Polling Center says former Congressman Lou Barletta, the number one pick with 20% support. Let's pause for sports. It's called your 2 minute drill.
Yeah, let's go dancing. The NCAA tournament begins tonight with the first 4 all games in Indiana. Drake, Wichita State, UCLA, Michigan State, both in West Lafayette, Texas Southern Mountain St. Mary's, and Family Life News anchor Brandon Dixon's Appalachian State battling Family Life Construction Supervisor Cody Slayton's Norfolk State in Bloomington. Yeah, small world. The NIT began last night in Texas. Richmond beat Toledo. Western Kentucky beat St. Mary's. 3 of the 4 number one seeds, Colorado State, Mississippi, and St. Louis, alternates for the NCAA tournament. They can still make that field if a school has to withdraw due to COVID issues. The deadline Tuesday at 6. Buffalo scheduled to take on Colorado State tomorrow night. To the ice. No coaches, no problems for the blue shirts. The Rangers' entire coaching staff unavailable due to COVID protocols. So what did Mike Zibanejad do? Score 3 goals and 3 assists in the Rangers' 9-0 rout of the Flyers.
It's nice to get a game like this, but it was first and foremost a really nice team win.
New coach in Buffalo, General Manager Kevin Adams.
As you all know, I've relieved Ralph Krueger and Steve Smith of their coaching duties. Effective immediately, the interim head coach will be Don Granato.
And Adams was asked if Sabre players have just quit on the coach. Adams replied,
there has to be a pride that goes with putting on a Buffalo Sabres jersey, of showing up every day and being a National Hockey League player.
Buffalo's winless streak matches the third worst in team history, the longest since Buffalo lost a team record 14 straight through the 2014-15 season. In the NBA, James Harden logged his 11th triple-double of the season, 40 points, 10 boards, 15 assists. The Nets rallied past the Pacers 124-115. That impressed head coach Steve Nash.
Remarkable performance. Down Kai, you know, he made some huge plays down the stretch.
That's 6 straight wins for Brooklyn. And the 76ers fall to Giannis in the Bucks, 109-105 in overtime. Milwaukee's won 10 of 11. Philly had their 6-game winning streak snapped. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Delphiette.
Thank you, Sonny. Still to come on this Thursday edition of the Noon Report, Biden's border crisis, the latest on the nation's illegal crossings, politicizing a tragedy, how the mainstream media got it oh so wrong, and the trick shot challenge, just in time for March Madness.
The commonality of false teachers is that they tell us to look inside. But what happens when we look inside and we're still lost? For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Break Point. In his remarkable autobiography, Confession, St. Augustine famously wrote this, "Thou hast made us for thyself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in thee." Solomon talked of God putting eternity in our hearts. In other words, as John Calvin observed, humans are incurably religious creatures. Though millions of Americans have given up on organized religion, and a growing number now declare themselves as nuns, in other words, no spiritual affiliation, these observations from Solomon, John Calvin, and St. Augustine remain true. In fact, our religious impulse is so strong, even the New York Times has noticed the new places where it's showing up. The vast majority of those who fled the church, argued millennial author Lee Stein in an article last week, haven't become less religious. Rather, many of them, especially women, are embracing new belief systems, often led by self-appointed social media gurus who preach things like self-care, left-wing activism, New Age spirituality, and maybe add in a side of herbal supplements. Instagram influencers like Glennon Doyle and Gwyneth Paltrow have won millions of followers with their personal growth advice and positive thinking. It was in 2017, claims Stein, that she began to notice how many wellness products and programs were being marketed to women in pain, and how the social media industry would stoke moral outrage but then fail to offer any worldview big enough to handle it. Some specialized in call-out cultures, others in self-help cures, but all of them insisted that the answers to our problems lie within us. If only, like little gods, we'd learn to assert our desires and our moral intuitions as absolute. However, self-worship in any form is only a recipe for spiritual restlessness. The women that millions have chosen as their moral leaders, argues Stein, aren't challenging us to ask those fundamental questions that leaders of faith have been wrestling with for thousands of years, like, why are we here, why do we suffer, and what should we believe in beyond the limits of our puny selfhood? We're looking, she continues, for guidance in all the wrong places. Maybe we actually just need to go to something like a church. For a writer who admits to seldom praying to God, this is a remarkable realization. As St. Augustine himself would attest, no one's more vulnerable to truth than when they've seen everything that the world has to offer and are left with, is this it? At the same time, a very different self-help guru seems to have come to that realization. In a podcast with Orthodox iconographer Jonathan Bugeaud, clinical psychologist and best-selling author Jordan Peterson all but admits, using remarkable and tearful words that describe the limits of his own intellectual capacity to understand it all, that God is breaking down the door of his heart. Peterson has long treated Christianity as a useful myth in which people might be able to find some meaning. Yet, through his own personal struggles and dialogue with Christians, he admits to wanting to believe that this Jesus story is true. "I probably believe in Christ," Peterson said, "but I am amazed at my own belief and I don't understand it." Peterson's search stands in stark contrast to most of evangelism, and it raises tough questions for those leaving organized religion behind. With what will you replace it? What's big enough to fill the God-shaped hole in your heart? And if Christianity isn't the true story of the world, what's the alternative? If Stein and if Peterson and, for that matter, if St. Augustine are right, alternative religions will never satisfy the human impulse to worship, at least not for very long. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with Breakpoint.
20 minutes past the hour of the weekend, almost here.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. On the weather map, we've got the storm system that has produced tornadoes in recent hours and the last day or so across the southeast United States, still very much in play. Our area is being impacted to the extent we're seeing rain and some snow from that system. Its departure will allow high pressure to move in and set us up for a sun-filled weekend for the warm-up as well. In the meantime, for this afternoon into tonight, cloudy with periods of rain and some mixed snow. Precipitation tapers this evening. Could be a couple inches of snow accumulating by this evening in some of the higher elevations of the southern Finger Lakes and Twin Tiers. Temperatures this afternoon moving little, dropping overnight into the 20s. Watch for some slick spots. Tomorrow and Saturday, plenty of sunshine. Still a chill tomorrow, high in the 30s, up to 50 Saturday, with sunshine we're in the 50s on Sunday.
All righty, Kevin Williams getting it done at the Weather Center this afternoon. If you're just joining us, here are some of the stories we're following for you today, Thursday, March 18th. The Biden administration under increasing pressure to change its tactics and its tone when it comes to the situation at the southern border.
They have exacerbated this problem. It is a human trafficking problem. It is a national security problem, and it is a health problem, and they're hiding it from the public. There's something nefarious going on, and it needs to be exposed.
Former Utah Congressman Jason Chaffetz, Missouri Senator Josh Hawley, says nothing good comes of open borders.
You create a human smuggling crisis. You create a humanitarian crisis, and that is exactly what President Biden has done.
Last month alone, over 100,000 people entered this country illegally. At least four were on the government's terror watch list. The 911 calls from the spas that came under fire Tuesday night in the Atlanta area have now been released.
Where's the person who is robbing the spa? Where is he right now?
I don't know. I'm hiding right now.
Eight people were killed in the attacks at three spas. Six of the dead were Asian women. The suspect telling authorities he had a sex addiction. And that was the motivation behind the shooting.
Police say suspect Robert Long has confessed his bizarre explanation. He's a sex addict, not a racist, and killed his victims to eliminate a temptation.
That's Mark Strassman reporting. Vivek Ramaswamy is the author of Woke Incorporated. He says the mainstream media tried to politicize this tragedy by calling it a hate crime before they had the facts.
The facts actually matter, and I think it's shameful when identity politics obsessed politicians jump on this as a personal opportunity for themselves. At the end of the day, they're advancing their own agenda, and in return, they're tearing us apart at the fabric of our nation and the fabric of our seams of our relationships as a country. I also think that I don't think that what happened would be any better or any worse if it was or it wasn't race motivated. Well, it was
exactly
a tragedy.
The 21-year-old suspect making his first court appearance today, where he's facing eight counts of murder. The Southeast bracing for more wicked weather today after more than 20 tornadoes touched down yesterday in Alabama and Mississippi. Forecasters say the Carolinas under the gun today.
That threat shifts to the east, places like Columbia, South Carolina, up to Charlotte, North Carolina, and then eventually east towards the end of the day into places like Myrtle Beach and Wilmington.
That's forecaster Jeff Baradelli. Doctors have issued a warning about too much screen time for young kids.
Hyperactivity, short attention span, and poor peer relationships are just some issues researchers say children under five face when they spend extended periods of time on phones, tablets, or video games.
That's Elise Preston reporting. Better late than never, a Queens, New York library has received a long overdue book. It was checked out in 1957. A 74-year-old college professor, of all people, had it. That professor decided to make amends and mail it back with a $500 check to cover the late fee. That library stopped charging late fees years ago, but said it appreciated the donation. Coming up on 25 minutes past the hour, Thursday afternoon, you're plugged into the Noon Report on Family Life.
This is Faith Under Fire. Each Thursday on Family Life, we give voice to religious battlegrounds in this nation. I'm your host, Tracy Lynn. With us today, Autumn Leva, VP of Strategy for Family Policy Alliance. We know that President Biden has championed the rights of members of the LGBT community in a push, he says, restricts discrimination. But how might those sought-after protections actually harm children?
Great question, and that's actually very clear in the Equality Act that President Biden has said is his top priority, as well as in some executive orders that he pushed just recently. But what really happens is that they affect children's minds, their bodies, and especially their relationships with their parents. So this type of curriculum that's being pushed through the Equality Act will allow graphic sexual content to be introduced to children as young as pre-K. And that is causing children to question whether or not they are born in the correct body. So that's harming their minds, their right to free speech, to speak about what they believe and know to be true, their bodies. This type of agenda and the curriculum that it pushes in schools and through medical professionals who will be forced to provide them with gender transition services, regardless of whether or not those medical professionals think that's in the best interest of the children. And none of these treatments have been proven safe or effective. There's really no long-term studies. And lastly, their relationships with their parents. We know that if a parent disagrees with the government's new definition of sexual orientation and gender identity, according to the Equality Act, that could cause tension between the parent and the child, and has even been used already to deprive parents of custody of their own children. And the Equality Act would nationalize that across the country. So we're very concerned.
Yeah, we've seen it already create a whole heap of trouble. Just this month, Rochester area New York State Senator Samra Brouk has introduced legislation linked to a group called Sex Ed for Social Change. And that group's current standards include public and charter schools would teach 5-year-olds about gender identity and instruct 8-year-olds on hormone blockers. As I read more about that, it also said kids as young as 11 would get lectures on different types of sex acts. The New York State measure aims to establish mandatory sex ed for young children statewide. Ooh, Autumn, your team at Family Policy Alliance is part of an effort to protect children from these types of efforts in the initiative called Promise to America's Children. Would you outline the 3 ways this would protect kids?
Absolutely. And as you rightly said, the sex ed that we're talking about with the initiative in New York and with the Equality Act, this is not the sex ed that any of us grew up with. This is something very different, very much more concerning. And so the Promise to America's Children is exactly that. It restores promises to children that they should have, that the adults who are entrusted with their care, and certainly the adults who are entrusted with their care at school, should be tasked with protecting their minds, their bodies, and of course, their relationships with their parents. And we are encouraging all political leaders who have the ability to speak into the policies that affect them to join us in that platform. And it also gives us a reason to oppose policies like the Equality Act. If they disagree or if they bring harm to children, then we can say this is why we have to oppose this bill.
How can we use this time and the clashing of values as an opportunity to convey our biblical message in a loving, Christ-like manner when it comes to gender and sexuality?
You know, as I've read more and learned more about, especially children who are struggling with their gender identity and just confused about what it means to be a boy or a girl, their main source of information is tending to be on social media. And of course, we know that that's going to lead to further harm, especially if there's these outside media influences encouraging children to harm their bodies, to take these hormones or even have drastic surgeries. And we know that in the end, people are looking for truth, and only the Bible, only the Word of God expressed through His Son, Jesus Christ, can give us that truth that we're seeking. And so it really is an opportunity for us to stand up and speak truth in a loving manner, because these people are needing help. They're asking for help. And if no one will speak up and say it to them, if everyone will go along with this gender identity agenda and this gender theory, then they're not going to have anywhere to turn to. And I think my pastor really said it well when he was talking about the Equality Act. He said, Father, forgive them for pushing this legislation. They don't know what they're doing. And we're really harming those children who we have been entrusted with to guide and to grow up and to protect. And so it's an opportunity for us to really, as believers, to speak the truth and to lift up those in power who truly don't know what they're doing with this.
That's Autumn Leva with Family Policy Alliance. I'm Tracy Lynn, Family Life News.
Thank you, guys. Faith Under Fire comes your way every Thursday during the Noon Report.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. On the weather map, we've got the storm system that has produced tornadoes in recent hours and the last day or so across the southeastern United States, still very much in play. Our area is being impacted to the extent we're seeing rain and some snow from that system. Its departure will allow high pressure to move in and set us up for a sun-filled weekend with a warm-up as well. In the meantime, for this afternoon into tonight, cloudy with periods of rain and some mixed snow. Precipitation tapers this evening. Could be a couple inches of snow accumulating by this evening in some of the higher elevations of the southern Finger Lakes and Twin Tiers. Temperatures this afternoon moving little, dropping overnight into the 20s. Watch for some slick spots. Tomorrow and Saturday, plenty of sunshine. Still a chill tomorrow, high in the 30s, up to 50 Saturday. With sunshine, we're in the 50s on Sunday.
All right, Kevin Williams, I might mow the lawn this weekend. Probably not. Finally at noon, well, with March Madness back again after a two-year hiatus, one company is shelling out some big bucks. Family Life's Brandon Dixon.
Planters wants to score big with one student by giving away a $50,000 scholarship to college. The snack giant is calling it the Trick Shot Challenge. It comes ahead of the NCAA's March Madness tournament, which tips off today. Those who want to try out simply need to post a video of their best trick on TikTok, Twitter, or Instagram with the hashtags Planters Trick Shot and contest. Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
Thank you, Brandon. That is the world we live in this Thursday. As always, thanks for coming along. I'm Bill Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.